4, CBA Mobile.
David, N4DJC.
Mr. Jerry, how are things in your neck of the woods?
It's been nice this afternoon. It's a little cool this morning.
I actually played at Gower Park. I think it's a county park, and it's over here on the Motor Mile, right behind one of the dealerships here. I'm sitting here looking across Lawrence at Fairway right now, but I'm up on a side road, up on a hill. But anyway, the guy that I played is a member of the club, but he forfeited February, and he doesn't have to pay for it, but he also cannot play at the sports club. So we had to find another place to play.
That's not good. Weather was nice enough. It looked like it was kind of breezy earlier today, but I think the wind calmed down a little bit, but it was, I was looking out the front door a minute ago, and it felt kind of breezy to me.
Good. Kind of looking behind me, I got some bikers here, and oh Lord, it's going to be a while before I get in the left lane, the right lane, I mean. Okay. I got other choices here. Maybe I'll just do 21 instead of trying to kill myself and get on Haywood. I got about 75 feet, and I got to cross four lanes. And there's a bunch of cars coming. What do you think?
Same, I guess. That's probably what you'll do, isn't it?
I think it was rush hour. I used to drive this road every day going to work. I lived in Travelers Rest and drove to the Mazda dealership. And, you know, and it looked like a Friday afternoon at 5:30. But anyway, I'm going to take this little cut-through road here that cuts down beside the Ford dealership, Fairway Ford, and it comes out. It becomes Keith Drive, and it comes out at 291 there at the bottom of the hill, right across the street from Fender Mender. So I remember when we worked at the county, I worked at the service center of the county. I'll go right by there. They're located on Keith Drive. And there was an ice cream supply place right there next door to us. And they, one of their coolers went out, and they brought us a couple of boxes of ice cream. And, oh, man, was it good. Golly, dude, it was hot. It was a hot summer day. And, man, it was nice.
It's ice cream anymore, but I sure loved it. It gives me a little trouble now. I don't know whether I've become lactose intolerant or what, but it bothers me a little bit now when I eat it. I hadn't had it in a while, but I used to love it, man. I could even sit down and eat a half gallon without taking a breath, hardly. But you're talking about the road between the Subaru dealership and Fairway Ford?
You know, they own the Subaru place there, too, so it kind of goes between their used car lot and the Subaru lot that they own. And it curves around, and it goes to this industrial area. And I'm not sure. It's called Industrial Drive, but then when you come to the intersection here with the traffic lights and the railroad tracks, it becomes Keith Drive. And that's the address of the vehicle service center for the county.
You better know where it is. I had a Subaru. I know where that is. I've been down that road several times. I've gone down where sometimes avoid the traffic on, like on Haywood and places like that. Sometimes cutting around the other side. But I hadn't been out the other direction. Now, I'm assuming where you played was in the opposite direction of 291.
In Piedmont. He lives in Piedmont, and So I was trying to think of a kind of a central location in Goward. It just came to mind, but good Lord, it's been years since I played there. And when I played there, last time I played there, the courts were just in great shape. But boy, they are awful. I mean, awful is just, I'm putting it, I'm really giving them an upgrade because, I mean, there's cracks. You can stick your thumb down in all the way across the court, and they're in real strategic places, like right along the service line, you know, so if the ball hits it, there's no telling what it's going to do. And it's kind of like playing on clay. And they're just sunken down in places, and you can hear it when the ball hits it. It makes a thud sound instead of the normal sound that you would hear a tennis ball make on an asphalt surface. So you know there's something funky going on underneath it. There's some giving. Even the tennis ball is making it give. So good Lord, you can imagine what's going on underneath there.
Down that way, I can't remember the one, in that Y somewhere there off of down that area that down near Augusta Road. And it was, I know exactly where it is, but I can't tell you how to get there. That's where my grandson has his soccer games there. I don't know if they have tennis courts there or not. I guess they don't, but is it just used that much or just deteriorated that much?
Yeah, they were obviously used today. When we got there at 3:00, boy, they were slam full, and some people playing, they're marked off for pickleball. Some people were playing pickleball instead of tennis, and which is fine. I mean, you know, that's what they're there for. And so I noticed about 4:00, everybody started leaving. I told Ken, I said, we should have got here at 4:00, because, well, we didn't have to wait but about 5 minutes for court, so, you know, big deal. Heck, I've had to wait. I remember we used to play at Butler Springs when I was a teenager, and we'd wait 30, 45 minutes for court. There was a sign and on the fence, and it said, you know, as soon as somebody walks up and sits down, you've got 45 minutes to finish up. And, you know, and we help people do that. Sometimes we had to say, hey, it's been 45 minutes. And I mean, you know, you just have to kind of stand your ground.
I know they, over at Hall, they built a bunch of, I don't know whether they're just tennis courts or their tennis courts or just pickleball courts. They got a big pickleball league over there that plays, I mean, they play year-round. It's outside, though. And I don't know if it's just specific for pickleball or tennis too, but they got a big group over there in place. Oh, I mean, they've got tournaments and all kinds of stuff over there. I guess that's a new thing for people with bad knees.
I think so, but if you notice the pickleball tournament on TV, it's people in their 20s that are playing the tournaments, and the younger people are, I'm seeing younger and younger people playing it, and the people that were playing it today, I think were in their maybe late 20s, mid to late 20s, and it's become popular, you know, with the younger group. I think it started, you know, more for the older people that can't move, or, you know, have bad knees, and but I mean, it's not easy to play. But the bad thing is, if you play on a tennis court, the net's too high. The net on a true pickleball court, the net's lower than it is on a tennis court.
They got a combination one down here. I think they've got one down here in one of the Ritzy neighborhoods we go by. It's just a combination of pickleball and tennis court. And I didn't realize the net was low, but I've seen them. I've watched some of those people play. It's not a senior sport. I guess it can be since it's no overhead. I've seen them whacking that ball like it looks like it whacking at 70 miles an hour.
I was going to even hit the snot out of it and it still doesn't go super fast, you know, because it's like a wiffle ball. It's got the holes in it and it's hollow inside. So, and then you got the hard paddle. There's no strength on it. That's the only thing I don't like about it, is that clunking sound that it makes when you hit the ball. It's kind of, for me as a tennis player, it's kind of distracting sometimes, or more irritating than anything, I guess. But you just have to tune it out. It's one of those things. It's like anything else. You know, you can let the ball bounce, but you can also play it in the air. And I've seen them in tournaments, I've seen them just hit it back and forth like badminton, where it's in the air the whole time, never hits the ground.
Yeah, I've seen some of those on TV and on YouTube as well, where they were smacking the crap out of it. But a lot of people make it out like it's an old folks game. But it's not. I guess it's just like anything else. But tennis is hard on your knees as you get older. But it's real popular over there. They got senior leagues and they play doubles a lot. Which is as small as that court is. That's got to be kind of tough to play that, I guess, because if they whack it hard enough, you're gonna get hit.
Sorry, I'm in that noisy stretch of late Hampton Valley out of it in a jiffy here doing 120 miles an hour. No, I'm kidding. Oh, me. In your own asphalt, so asphalt is not as forgiving as clay. And, so if you're older, it's better to play on clay if you got any knee problems, and so that's kind of a negative. But I don't see pickleball going to clay. But anyway, oh man, who knows what they'll come out with next? When I first heard pickleball, I said, "What the heck is pickleball?"
I never heard of it. David, before a few years ago when I started reading about it in the hometown paper, man, they were making a big deal out of it. And then I looked at it and I said, my knees can't take that, I don't guess anymore. I know my wife can't. We used to enjoy playing tennis and racquetball years ago, but I just can't handle that anymore. But it looked interesting, and then when I said, yeah, this thing can be, it's not as easy, it can be played, easier, I guess, in tennis, but you can still get into pretty aggressive fashion with it if you're athletic enough. But I'm just interested about the doubles thing because the court's a lot smaller. The playing area is a lot smaller. It looks like it's maybe two thirds the size of a tennis court, maybe, or maybe even smaller than that.
Look at the blue lines, they're just behind the service line, about 6 inches or so behind the service line on a tennis court. So that's the back line of the pickleball. That's as deep as you can hit it. So it's just a hair over half the length of a tennis court. You don't have as much space, so it's more of a volley type game because it's like volleying the ball in tennis. Sometimes in doubles you'll get all four people at the net and you're just hitting it back and forth, and it can get pretty competitive up there on the net. Sometimes they'll hit it, 5, 6, 7 times before somebody finally makes a mistake, but playing tennis, so, but anyway. Well, I'll probably probably asked you this before. Do you do any FT8?
I've yet to do that. I fully intend to try that. I've got an in-fed half-wave dipole. I'm going to, yes, 40, 20, and 10 meter. I'm going to try to put one up maybe a little bit later in the summer. And I'm going to see if I can get it up high enough. I'm just going to run a test on it first, see it, make sure it's not too noisy here. But my 705 is just 10 watts, but I'm gonna try to set it up FT, because I hear a lot of people are can make pretty decent contacts on that. But it just depends on what the noise factor is here at my lot. I got a lot of power lines around. I'm not sure if it's going to be too noisy to fool with it or not, David. But I'm interested in seeing if it would, how it works. I know they've got some apps out there now that can operate FT8. I've got one computer I can run Windows on. I'd have to use that one, I suppose. This is a pretty easy hookup with this thing to get it to operate on digital.
Well, I've said this several times, but I'm having a blast with it right now, and I'm sure the news is going to wear off eventually, and I'll kind of slow down with it. But right now, I mean, 2 hours just goes by, and I'm like, wow, you got to be kidding. I mean, that's just how much fun it is for me anyway. It has its challenges, especially if there's a bunch of people in there, and you're constantly looking for a spot to transmit, and somebody, takes your spot, and because nobody owns the frequency. So it's all fair game, when you quit transmitting. So, and sometimes they don't wait till you quit transmitting. But I've actually made contacts with people transmitting over me or on top of me or whatever, and I could see their signal in the waterfall, but I still made my contact. It was really weird. So I guess I was stronger than they were. And this wasn't a local contact. I mean, it was like, England or Spain or Argentina or something like that. I mean, but anyway, it's just a heck of a lot of fun. I'm making contacts at a greater distance than I would if I was on sideband on voice.
It seems to be real efficient for lower power. I know there's a couple of guys I know that are running FT8 or 705. They've done pretty digging well with it. And because you can run 10 watts on it with a battery, or a power supply. So I just don't know if I can get I'm up at about probably 25 feet or so, and I don't know if I can get a whole lot higher. I may have to make a sloper or something from the window down to see how that may work. But again, I don't know whether I can get it up high enough to get the antenna up high enough for it to have any efficiency or not. But I'm gonna give it a try and just see how it works out.
Ham radio is just trial and error. And sometimes, you throw an antenna up there, and I just shot mine up in the trees, or actually had somebody do it for me because I didn't have a launcher, and they were more proficient at it than I would have been, and so my Wyndham, my Carolina Wyndham's just up there in the trees about 35 feet, and you can't even see it. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. And that's what I like about ham radio. There's so many facets of it. You can find what you like and do what you like, and somebody else can do what they like. So anyway, and there's plenty left over. Well, I'm sitting in the garage here, so I'm going to say 73s, and you take care. And good to talk with you, as usual. I'll stick around for your final KB4 CPA.
Gordy, talking to you again. Hope you have a good afternoon. And we'll talk to you later about it and see how it goes. And I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna take a look at it and get more involved in it later this spring, I think, when I can get outside a little better. I don't have any trees in yours, so I gotta figure something else out. You have a good afternoon. M4DJC clear.